Good morning, and welcome to this another edition of Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. My name's Chris McAleer, your host. I'm glad you're here today. And we're going to spend time in God's Word this morning as we continue to study through the Old Testament in 2017. Today we're going to consider three of the Psalms, and that will be the 20th, the 21st, and the 22nd Psalms. Before we do that, we do want to make you aware of a few things that are going on around us. And one of those is the upcoming camp season at Camp Ida. Camp Ida is a Christian youth work camp, a Christian youth camp. Growing in wisdom and stature is the motto. Camp Ida is overseen by the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas. The camp is located near Maud, Texas. The first session will begin this Sunday, June the 4th, and run through the 9th. The director is Alan Chance, and the theme is The Greatest Commandment. You can contact Brother Chance if you'd like to get in there this weekend at 903-340-6938. That is 903-340-6938. The second session will begin on June the 11th and run through the 16th with Director Ross Hafner and a theme of Knowing God. For more information, you can contact Brother Ross at 940-329-0882. That's 940-329-0882. The third session is directed by John McCormack, and the theme for session three is The Kingdom of Heaven is Like. You can contact Brother John at 417-217-0329. That's 417-217-0329. The fourth session will run June 25th to the 30th. This is the leadership session, and the director is J.J. Hendricks. For more information there, call J.J. at 682-201-7337. And the fifth session is directed by Brian Braswell. This year's theme for that is Christian Character. And you can contact Brother Braswell at 501-732-6223. Also, for just general information about Camp Ida, you can contact Richard Rutledge, the camp director, at 903-434-3072. That's 903-434-3072. That's Camp Ida coming up beginning this Sunday. All right, we also want to make you aware of our summer series going on in Mount Vernon. And if you have a summer lecture series, let us know about it, and we'll get the word out for you. This is going to run on Wednesday nights in the months of June, July, and August. The topic is going to be the Book of Hebrews, and that's going to get underway this coming Wednesday night, June the 7th, and the speaker is going to be Brother Kevin Cawley from New Boston, Texas. So we're looking forward to that, covering Hebrews 1 as we cover a chapter of Hebrews each week. In the month of June, the first four speakers are going to be Brother Cawley, as we mentioned, Brother Marco Arroyo from the University Congregation in Tyler, Texas, Brother Nat Ayers from the Broadway Congregation in Tyler, and Brother Anthony Warnes from the Broken Bow, Oklahoma Congregation. So, we're looking forward to that. All right, at this time, we're going to turn our attention to God's Word this morning. If you have your Bible and you're not behind the wheel this morning, I encourage you to turn to the 20th Psalm, Psalm 20. The 20th Psalm. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice, Selah. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. May the King answer us when we call. Psalm 20 was written to be sung by the Jewish people to their king and nation. It was written to be sung and to show loyalty to a good and righteous king like David. The reference of the psalm is continually to we, as in the people, not an individual. This psalm is the people's prayer for a good king to follow after. The psalm begins with a prayer for the king. We go back to verse 1 here, and we see this prayer for the king in verses 1 through 5. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice, Selah. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now notice the request that is seen in the prayer in these verses. In verse 1, the prayer is for God to answer the king in the day of trouble. And also there in verse 1, we see a prayer for God to protect and defend the king when in trouble. Verse 2, the prayer is for God to send the king help and support. Verse 3, we see the prayer is for God to accept the sacrifices and offerings of the king. In verse 4, the prayer is for God to give the king his heart's desire and for the success of his purpose. And in verse 5, the request is for God to grant all of the king's request. This is the prayer on behalf of a good king that will follow God and be good to his subjects. This psalm greatly illustrates for us the importance of godly leaders. A ruler that seeks God will also seek for the best interest of his people rather than himself. The United States is in a dangerous situation in relation to the ability to receive the blessings of the Almighty because of our sinfulness as a nation and the lack of moral character in the vast majority of our leaders is a large reason for that. Living in a nation that chooses its leaders in a democratic process of free election should cause Christians to demand men who are desirous of seeking God and following his precepts. Though leaders may be in various areas of scriptural error in their own lives, we can still seek men who will seek to make godly and moral decisions. Our votes should always be cast with an interest in the moral character of individuals more than their economic and defense policy positions. Without leaders of moral integrity, we are doomed to fail, whatever their various other policies may be. The Northern Kingdom of Israel only lasted about 200 years due to bad and evil kings. The Southern Kingdom of Judah lasted much longer because of the occasional good king that would rise up and turn them back to God. How Can you expect God's blessings on a nation if we vote for those who believe it is all right to murder children in the womb? Why would we support those who appoint judges that will seek to remove God from our everyday lives? We should be seeking godly individuals to serve our nation in political purposes. Verses 6 through 9 deal with godly leaders and truth. Verse 6. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. May the King answer us when we call. In verse 6, he said, Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. God will protect leaders that faithfully follow him. God has always blessed the godly leader and used them to bring justice to evil rulers. We must remember that our civil authorities are to be obeyed. Romans chapter 13 in verse 1 says, Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. We will pray for those who have the rule over us, because the prayers of the righteous avails much. How much more blessed is a Christian in a place of authority who has his prayers heard by God? However, there is a tendency by some to place their trust in the civil government as much or more as they do the Lord. That is a very dangerous mistake for one to make. Patriotism is a good thing, and we should be lovers of country. But we must never lose sight of the fact that our citizenship lies in heaven, not in the United States or Canada or Great Britain or any other nation. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Our trust cannot be in our economic might or our powerful military. It must be in the Lord of hosts. The powers of a nation exist only because of the power which God has ordained that power. Verses 7 and 8 points out that if we place trust in self, we are going to fail. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. God will hear the nation that calls to him. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. The need of a great nation is a great leader. When we make Christ our leader, we can be a great nation once again. But trusting in men or political parties will never accomplish the greatness that we would desire. And now let us move to the 21st Psalm. The king shall have joy in your strength, O Lord. And in your salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice? You have given him his heart's desire, and have not withheld the request of his lips, Selah. For you meet him with the blessings of goodness. You set a crown of pure gold upon his head. He asked life from you, and you gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in your salvation. Honor and majesty you have placed upon him. For you have made him most blessed forever. You have made him exceedingly glad with your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord. And through the mercy of the Most High he shall not be moved. Your hand will find all your enemies. Your right hand will find those who hate you. You shall make them as a fiery oven in the time of your anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their offspring you shall destroy from the earth, and their descendants from among the sons of men, for they intended evil against you. They devised a plot which they are not able to perform. Therefore you will make them turn their back. You will make ready your arrows on your string toward their faces. Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your power. And so this psalm began with rejoicing over answered prayer. These psalms clearly indicate that we have the right and that we should pray regularly for our leaders. It is fitting, even in the assembly, to petition God for the ones that have the rule over us. Notice the joy that is found in verse 1. The king shall have joy in your strength, O Lord, and in your salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. God hears the prayers of his people, and here he granted their prayers, and gave the king the desires of his heart, and showered the king with blessings. And the good king in turn showers his subjects with blessings. Notice verse 7. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High he shall not be moved. When the rulers of men trust in the Lord God, they will be showered with mercy and shall stand strong in the Lord. Israel was so greatly blessed when they had men like Joshua and David and Moses and Gideon and Nehemiah, among others, leading the way. My friend, I ask you, would not God do the same today if our leaders will but turn to his precepts and lead a nation in following after the Lord? Let us seek men who follow God rather than enticing us with goodies through entitlements and various plans for health, wealth, and prosperity that stand apart from the Word of God. This psalm reminds us of the need for thanksgiving and the blessing of freedom we have to worship God as we see fit. Freedom from a national religion or forced worship of some type or persuasion. We must be thankful and realize that this blessing will be lost eventually if men turn from God and follow sin, as we are watching right now before our very eyes. Verse 8 said, your hand will find all your enemies. Your right hand will find those who hate you. No king or nation can stand against the nation for whom God is king, or the nation whose king submits himself to the Lord God. God will protect his own. God used Israel to destroy the evil inhabitants of Canaan. When Israel turned to sin, he used the Assyrians to punish Israel. He used the Babylonians to punish Judah. He used Babylon to punish and destroy Assyria. And the Persians would destroy Babylon. And the list goes on and on. Indeed, God will bring all evil nations to justice. The New Testament writer, the Apostle Paul, in his first letter to Timothy, echoed virtually the same sentiments as this 21st Psalm. Notice 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, I exhort first, of all that supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Paul encouraged Christians to pray on behalf and for our leaders and governments. In verse 3, he said that it pleases God when we do this. So when we summarize this 21st Psalm, we need to remember two important lessons from it. One is that we need to pray for our leaders and government at all levels. And we need to pray for the will of God to be sought by the leaders of the land and to thank God for the blessings that we have. And also that we should support godly men that place their trust in the Lord and not the world, and to seek men who will seek God to be our leaders. And now we move to the 22nd Psalm. And now we see this psalm being different from the previous two, as this one focuses in on the suffering and praise and the posterity of the Messiah. Somewhat more lengthy psalm of 31 verses. And this is a psalm of David. And some have referred to this psalm as the Psalm of the Cross. This psalm is a messianic prophecy that is fulfilled with the cross of Christ. This psalm gives us much insight into the mind of Christ leading up to the cross. This is set to the Deer of the Dawn, which was probably a tune that was known to the musicians of the king, but we're just speculating. Also, Jesus quoted this psalm in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 27. In verse 46. Now this psalm, the first 21 verses, denotes the sufferer forsaken by God. Verse 1. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. We see his cry for help in verses 1 and 2. Why has God forsaken him? Why does God not help him? He cries out day and night. Why does God not hear? Verse 3, but you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted, and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. We see there in verses 3 through 5 David's hope for deliverance. It is God. For God is holy, and God is enthroned on the praises of Israel. The fathers trusted in God, and he delivered them. They cried to God, and God did not disappoint them or leave them. He continues in verse 6, "But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, 'He trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver, since he delights in him.'" We see his torment by others in verses 6 through 8. He feels reduced to being more like a worm than a man. He is the target of derision, and he is despised among men. He is ridiculed and he is taunted by those who mock his trust in God. In verse 8, we can see the fulfillment of this verse at the cross when we read Matthew chapter 27 and verse 43. Continuing in verse 9, "But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help." We see his faith in verses 9 through 11 there as he turns to God. David here acknowledges that God has been with him from the womb. And he acknowledges that God is his only hope, his only help. And now we see a description of his suffering beginning in verse 12. "Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lot." Indeed, the terrible sufferings described. His enemies are described. They surround him like strong bulls of Bashan. His enemies' mouths are opened like a raging and roaring lion, according to verse 13. We see the description of his own suffering. Verse 14 points out that he was poured out like water, and his bones are out of joint. His heart was like wax as it melted within him. His strength was dried up, and his tongue clung to his jaws. He was brought to the dust of death. His enemies surrounded him like dogs surrounding him as an evildoer. They pierced his hands and feet. We see this fulfilled in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 35. He can count all his bones as they feast their eyes upon him. They divided his garments and cast lots for his clothing, And we see this fulfilled also in Matthew 27:35. Verse 19, but you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. His final cry there is in verses 19 through 21. His cry is if for God to not be too far off from him. For God is his strength and calls him to hasten and to help him. He asks God to deliver his life from the sword and to save his life from the power of the dog. He asked God to save him from the lion's mouth and the gore of the horn of the wild oxen. And then the sudden declaration in verse 21, you have answered me. And then we see in verses 22 through 31, the sufferer being delivered by God. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. God is praised in these verses. The sufferer offers his praise to God. He said, I will proclaim the name of God to the brethren. I will praise the name of the God of God in the assembly. You might consider Hebrews chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. Those who fear God will offer praise to him. The descendants of Jacob will give honor and praise to him. The descendants of Israel will fear and awe the Lord. The psalmists give us good reasons to praise the Lord. God has despised, not abhorred, the afflictions of the afflicted. God does not turn away his face away from the cry of his suffering children. But instead, God listens, and he hears the cry of the afflicted, of his children, and he reacts. The sufferer will thus praise God in the assembly before all who fear the Lord. Notice verse 26. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him, even he who cannot keep himself alive. A posterity shall serve him. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has done this. Verses 26 through 31 have pointed out to us that God is to be worshipped. He is to be worshipped by the meek and all those who seek him. Those that seek the Lord will eat and be satisfied. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The Lord is to be praised in all the earth. Those who hear these things and believe them will praise and worship the Lord. All the families of the nations shall bow before the Lord. The Lord rules in his kingdom, and the Lord reigns over the kings of the earth. Those who prosper will eat and worship him. The dying shall bow before him. The Lord is remembered, and a posterity shall serve him. Men through generations will tell of the deeds of the Lord. Those not yet even conceived will one day hear of the goodness of God and his justice. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has done this. Psalms 20, Psalm 21, and Psalm 22. Three amazingly powerful little psalms. Tomorrow, Brother Groda and Brother Hendricks will bring the 23rd psalm to you, that psalm that has provided perhaps more comfort and encouragement to people through the ages than any other section of the scripture, the 23rd psalm. Thanks for joining me today. We'll finish a little bit early today. Stay tuned for the programming throughout the day here on the Gospel Radio Network. If the Lord wills, I'll see you next week at this same time here for Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. So until then, this is Chris McElyea saying so long and have a great day.